Dale, just to you and the band. Friends, Aunt Cherie, it's the first time that she's playing in the band, and I just want to say, where did she disappear to? Well done. Yeah, good. Well done, Aunt Cherie. You did well. And Kurt, thank you. You're a passionate drummer, my brother. Sheesh. All right, where's Gunther?
Here I am.
All right, Gunther, let's pray for you. Father, we want to say thank you for Gunther. We want to say thank you that he is a gift in your house. And Lord, we just acknowledge, Lord, the gifting that you have placed upon him. Father, this morning, do we just open up our hearts and we say, Lord, we are ready to receive the word that you have got to give through him. God, I pray that he will speak accurately. And Father, that he will only speak the things that he hears from the Father. And Father, as he sows the seeds of life, I pray, Lord, that our hearts will be ready to receive that, what you have got to give, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Is this thing on? Is that on? All right, good morning, church.
Good morning, Gunther.
Such a privilege to be here this morning. JoJo asked me this Wednesday. I'd like to share the word this morning. But I want to say it's a privilege to be here. This is family. This is not just a church, it's a family. And I can just sense the presence of God here during worship, and I'm so thankful for the privilege to share the word of God to you this morning. Let's just pray before we start. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your presence here. Father, we know without you we are nothing. Jesus Christ, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank you so much, Lord, for opening our eyes to see you, to see what the Spirit wants us to see, to hear what the Spirit wants us to hear, Lord. And Father, as we see in Hebrews where he said that today, if you hear the Spirit's voice, harden not your hearts. And I pray, Father God, soften our hearts this morning. Allow us, Lord, to receive. Allow us to perceive and understand who Jesus really is. That we thank you, Father God, for changed lives this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Okay, I've got the slides up. The title of my sermon this morning is Recognizing Him, Recognizing Jesus Christ. Why do I say that? I think it's so important for us as reborn Christians. I say reborn because some of us are very religious at times. Even in our charismatic circles, we tend to form a doctrine. We tend to form a little circle around what we think is right. And we have a certain way of speaking. We call it Christianese. We got into the world doesn't understand our language at times because we're not authentic, we're not real. I feel the Lord wants to challenge us this morning to just recognize Jesus Christ for who he is in seeking him. And so this morning, turn with me to James chapter 4, verse 8. If you have your Bibles, you can please turn with me, or you can follow on the screen. James 4, verse 8, we read, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It's that simple, but it's so powerful, actually. God calls us to draw near to him. We sometimes look for counsel in other places. We ask people to give us advice. We ask people to show us what is the right way. But God is calling us this morning to a deeper walk with him. And that is really on my heart this morning. We'll just follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you are in this life, it's so busy. Everything is busy in this life. We have technology, we have WhatsApp, we have Facebook, we have BBM. There's so much going on to distract us from drawing near to God. And it's a challenge in my own life. You know, I'm always busy doing things. My wife is extremely busy. If we go to Shofar HQ in Stellenbosch, that is a machine out there. People are running around trying to get God's word out. But the point I'm making is, if you want to draw near to God, you have to be still and know that he is God. You cannot understand and recognize him if you are having an idea of Christ in your head. And Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And they had to respond. He said, "Some said you're Elijah, some said you're a prophet, you're this person, you're that person." But God's asking us the same question this morning, "Who do you say I am?" And we can actually just think about that. Let it just sink into our hearts this morning. Do you know Jesus because of your encounter with him? Or do you know Jesus because of what your grandfather or your teacher told you about him? That's all good. I thank God for heritage of faith this morning. I'm coming from a rich family in faith, I'm speaking about. My father was a preacher. My brother is a preacher. My father-in-law is a preacher. He's sitting over there, Dave Wright. And I'm so blessed to be surrounded by men of faith. And I grew up listening to the Word of God. I grew up listening to the Bible stories from a young age. But there was a time in my life where I had to choose. At age 11, Lord, I know about you. I'm hearing my mom and my dad teaching about you, but do I actually know you? And I thought, okay, we're going to just be still. And I didn't recognize his voice. I didn't recognize his touch. And the Lord brought me to my knees at age 11 and asked Christ to come into my heart. So this morning, you need to have a thirst for Christ. If you don't have a thirst for the Lord, you cannot receive me. You cannot receive the infilling. And we're going to talk about more about that, about the infilling. I'm sure Pastor JJ will talk to you about the Holy Spirit and the infilling. But this morning, I want to ask you, do you recognize Christ? Do you recognize his touch? Do you recognize his leading? Do you recognize when he prompts you to do something? I was so blessed this morning when you guys went out to spar and you had the prompting to pray for someone. In the moment, do you recognize the Lord's leading? Because we can so easily miss it. We can be in the presence of greatness and completely miss the Lord. Completely. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. As the deer longs for the streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? I love that. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? That's the New Living Translation. Such a picture of David crying out to God, Lord, I thirst for you. In fact, I'm thirsting right now for some water. Question is, are you thirsting for God or are you thirsting for something else? There's so much in this world that can distract us, so much in this world to pull us in, to lure us in into a place of apathy, a place of just where it's just a work of the flesh and it's not the work of the Spirit. And that's what God is calling us this morning. Are you led by the Spirit or are you led by the flesh? Make a quality decision to draw near to God and to pursue him. We can give so much teachings about how to pursue him and how to walk in the Spirit, how to be led by the Spirit, but until you make a quality decision, you cannot move forward. Lord, I choose this day to serve you. This day is the day of salvation. We read in Hebrews as well. Choose this day whom you will serve. Points to get you there. How do you get into the presence of God? Number two, no more idols. God is a jealous God. Exodus 34, verse 14. If I do that, it always makes a funny sound. Exodus 34, verse 14. You must worship no other gods, for the Lord, whose very name is jealous, is a God who is jealous about his relationship with you. I love that. He is a God who is jealous about his relationship with you. And God is saying that today. He's longing for his church to just draw near to him. I know Jesus said when his disciples walked with Jesus for 3 years, they spent time with him. They saw Jesus working miracles, praying for the sick, raising the dead, opening blind eyes. But then Jesus said, I'm going away. And the disciples were grieved. They were filled with sorrow. They were sad. And Jesus said, it is expedient that I go away. It's for your profit. It's for your best interest that I go away. Because when I go away, I will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And he will teach you in all truth. And today, the Holy Spirit is present to reveal. He's present to impart truth to you. He's present to open up your eyes, the eyes of your understanding. You may recognize Christ for who he is in your life today. Point three, do you recognize the Lord today in your daily walk? You know, it's a daily walk. It's not a Sunday to Sunday walk. We can come here this morning, and the worship was great, and I really sense the presence of God so strongly. But I always think, Lord, when tomorrow comes, will I be in that moment where I recognize your voice, your presence, your touch? Because this people, we need to take this into the world out there, in the schools, at your workplace, in the streets. This Jesus that we encounter during worship, we need him out there. So I'm asking you the question this morning, who is on the throne of your heart this morning? Who is he? Is it the real Jesus or is it the Jesus that you are picturing to fit into your mold? Is he here to serve you? Is he here to just make life easy for you, make life better for you? Or is he the King of Kings and Lord of Lords this morning? So God wants us to check that in our hearts. Is he the Christ on the throne of your heart? If he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we must allow him into every area of our lives. Amen. So I'm going to read Luke 24. This is an account where Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, he appeared to his disciples. Now, we don't often read about this, but I was very fascinated about Jesus' approach to his disciples. He was raised from the dead on the third day, and afterward, he appears to his disciples. He was in his glorified body. He appeared, and then he sometimes disappeared. And that's just amazing how Jesus wanted to communicate something of his heart to his disciples. And we can read this together in Luke 24, verse 30 to 35. I don't think it's up there. I'm going to read it for you. Okay, Jesus just met his disciples on the road. They were asking him if he actually knew what happened about the Savior was crucified. They didn't know it was Jesus. They didn't recognize that Jesus actually was walking with them. For some reason, their eyes were closed. They did not acknowledge Jesus. So the disciples talked to him, "Oh, didn't you hear about this man who was crucified? They handed him over to Pontius Pilate to be crucified. They punished him, but he's actually the risen Savior." So while they were doing that, Jesus walked with them. They asked him, they actually begged, "Please come to us. Please come to our house and share more about this truth." Read in verse 30. "As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, Jesus disappeared." So they recognized Jesus the moment when Jesus started to break the bread. And that for me is so precious because they remembered the account when Jesus had communion before his crucifixion. They had a revelation that Jesus right now, he is showing them who he was and who he still is today. He is in fellowship with us. He is in communion with us. Verse 32, they say to each other, I want to focus on this. "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." So this verse right here, verse 32, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" We can actually read this Bible and our hearts would not respond. Other translation says our hearts became ablaze when we heard him speak to us. And it's so vital, people of God, that we actually, when we read the Word of God, and that we invite the Spirit of God to open our eyes. "Lord, what is your word for the moment? Lord, what do you want me to see in this hour, in this day? For me, for my family, for my community, what is it you're saying to me, Lord?" And the disciples' hearts became ablaze, the scripture says. Their hearts burned when they heard the voice of Jesus. My question to you this morning, when Christ speaks to you, is it just like, "Okay, I've heard that before. I've heard that teaching before"? We can become so complacent, we can become so familiar with him that we don't recognize the word in this season. So my prayer for myself and for us this morning is, may our hearts always burn for him, become a blaze for Christ. Amen. When we hear his voice.
Yeah, amen.
For me, that's precious. Verse 36, then the two from Emmaus told their story of Jesus, of how Jesus appeared to them and they were walking along the road and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. So they're sharing with the other guys how he recognized Christ. And John 10, verse 14, we can go there. I'm not going to do that.
Just mute it.
Thanks. John 10 verse 14. Jesus is speaking here. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. I love that. I know my sheep, and am known by my own. It's not just Christ knowing you, it's you knowing him. That's the challenge. We started this morning with James chapter 4 verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. In our drawing near to God, we come closer to him, and instead knowing, he can actually share his heart with us. That's what we want. We want God's heart. We don't want just a secondhand revelation. I always talk to people telling us that, they heard this great sermon, and this preacher told this, and he's got this revelation and this doctrine. And it's all great. We need the word from others, but we also need a personal encounter with God. First-hand revelation, because that first-hand revelation will take you through the deserts, people. It will take you through the storms of life, because it will come. Life is not a smooth sail. It's not a hunky-dory journey we have here. We are faced with so much crises today, and we have to acknowledge that, but acknowledge more that Christ is with us in the storm. Okay, so we recognize him when he talks to us on the road, and also the Lord who provides. That's point number 4. John 21, verse 1 to 13. I'm just going to read this and we can look into it. Verse 21, chapter 1, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to him, I am going fishing. They said to him, we are also going with you. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Sounds familiar? Yeah. It happened before, while Jesus was on the earth, or before his crucifixion. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. They didn't recognize him. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you no food? They answered him, no. Verse 6, and he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Again, Jesus giving them an instruction what he gave them previously. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, which is John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. Excitement. But the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were far out on the land, dragging the net with fish. Then, as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. How did they recognize him? Then they knew the Lord who performed the same miracle on the sea. He provided for them, he gave them an instruction, cast your net to the side of the boat and you will catch fish. The same Lord approached them again, cast your net to the right side of the boat and you will have something to eat. And this amazing call to fellowship, come and have breakfast with me. I love that picture. It speaks of intimacy, it speaks of communion, it speaks of a face-to-face just encounter with the Lord that we sometimes miss today. I had the privilege of going camping with my family two weeks ago, and we were in Saldanha Bay. And boy, we had breakfast every morning. Not just cereal, not just Wheat Bix, we had a proper breakfast. Bacon and egg and mushrooms and tomatoes and nice toast and cheese and Hallelujah. Cheese grillers and all that good stuff that we craved this morning. And that is such a beautiful picture of just fellowship with the Lord. You know, I was so relaxed sitting there, knowing that the Lord is the one who fellowships. He's not the one just that I have to seek in my private closet, which is good. I seek him when I'm on the mountaintop, when I walk through the valleys, when I drive my car. But when he is having breakfast with me, when God is inviting me to have breakfast with him, that is precious to me, because he says to us, relax, come talk, let's talk. Let's find out what's happening in your life at this very moment. And that time, God actually wants your heart. He doesn't want you to pretend. He doesn't want you to use big words to impress him. Be yourself. Be real. Jesus wants your heart.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So remember what he did, how he provided in times past, because he is faithful to meet your needs. We have to feed on his faithfulness. Remember what the Lord did before. Like I said earlier, storms will come, crisis will come, but what will he do? And point number 5, recognizing the Lord and knowing the Lord at the table. We're speaking now about breakfast, but God invites us to sit with him. A very familiar Psalm 23 verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. That to me is such an amazing picture. God is actually with us in the presence of our enemies. Our enemies can be anything. It can be a mountain of debt. It can be sickness and disease. It can be death in the family. It can be loss. Whatever it is, God says, I am preparing a table before you in the presence of your enemies.
Amen.
And I invite you to come sit with me, to come dine with me. So that tells us there's no more hiding and no more living in fear. Because what fear does, fear holds torment. Fear cripples us. We cannot receive from the Father, from the Lord, if we are filled with fear. 1 John 4 verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Fear holds torment. I can testify about that. When my wife and I are faced with a crisis, immediately I'm challenged. Will I allow the spirit of faith to come in? Or will I allow fear, which is a spirit, opposing the spirit of faith, to cripple our faith, to cripple us, to torment us? Because if you're in that cycle of depression and fear and that mold, and Satan wants to keep you trapped in there, you need really a word from the Lord to pull you out of that. And I can testify the word of the Lord is flawless. The word of the Lord lifts you up from the hill, from the mess that you're in. So our challenge this morning is not to be in fear. When God calls us to sit with him at the table, like in Psalm 23, we can sit there in the presence of our enemies. And we can see our enemy coming at us to destroy us. But we are confident in this, that his perfect love drives out all fear. And then we enter his rest. Matthew 11, 28, verse 28 to 30, we are familiar with this. Then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give you is light. So after your encounter with the Lord, you have an anchor and a song. That's so interesting. Sometimes when we come into the presence of God, we have this problem, we have this issue, we have this crisis. We come into his presence, we beg the Lord, Lord, take this away from me. And sometimes when we go out, that same problem that drove you into his presence still waits for you outside. But this time you have an anchor, you have a word, you have a song. And I love this, what David said here in Psalm 27, verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Remember the table? Table that God prepares for us in front of our enemies. Same thing right here. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to our God. And that's what I felt this morning in this house. when we just had a victory shout, when we just lifted the Lord up, because we come in here, I felt that this morning as well, that many of us are here, we are pulling heavy weights, heavy burdens, and God is saying, let it go. Amen. Let go of this burden. Take my yoke upon me. Take my yoke upon you. My burden is easy, my yoke is light. So that's the call to us this morning, to recognize Christ as the one who lifts the burden. Number six, recognize the Lord as the one who disciplines you. This is not a very not fun to talk about, but if I picture sitting at the table with the Lord, we have breakfast and we are comfortable and we have good interaction, we talk about this and that, it's a nice vibe, and I bring my troubles before him and he gives me a song, gives me a word, and I get out there with victory, but then he says, let's come back, let's talk about this. I call it having coffee time with the Lord. I probably have like four cappuccinos at this time, because it's face to face, it's heart to heart, it's straight talk, and we need that in the family. Revelation 3 verse 19 to 20, this is how it works. As many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. The Lord is speaking very clear and very directly here. He wants to rebuke us, not because of hate, but because of love. I'm sure any father can testify of this. You discipline your children because you love them. And God does the same. The Lord does the same. He rebukes us, he corrects us because of his love for us. And now do we hear his voice when he knocks on the door? We have to invite him in. Another picture of God dining with us, supping with us, inviting us in to have fellowship over dinner. The word is so appropriate, it's so easy to apply today. It's not just something that was written centuries ago. The word is relevant today. So the Lord, the Holy Spirit uses examples and pictures that we can relate to. It's a table in front of you. The Lord sits down with you and he has a straight talk with you. But if you see him as one far out there in the distance, you cannot relate to this. You will not welcome the Lord's discipline because you cannot relate to that. And if you invite discipline, you are a true son and daughter. We see in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 11. Verse 5, and have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? The encouraging words are this. My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. Aren't those encouraging words? Don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. You know, there were times in my life I went through a desert phase, many of those. I cannot hear the voice of God. I'm knocking, Lord, where are you? And the one thing I prayed, Lord, I'd rather have your discipline than not know your voice. Rather rebuke me, rather correct me than be silent. Having the Lord silent is hell on earth, people. You don't want that. Verse 7, as you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers and who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. Verse 11, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. That's true. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So I'm saying to us this morning, discipline is his love in action. Recognize the need in your life to be corrected by Him. Rather be open to His discipline than living a life without His presence. And we also read in John 15 from verse 1. There's a season of pruning, a season of cutting away. When we encounter God, He's not going to just speak nice things to us. We just read now, He's going to discipline us. He's going to be straight to us. And the good thing about the Lord, He accepts you the way you are, but He loves you too much to leave you the same. Because He sees the potential. He sees where you're going. John 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Jesus again explaining to us here that He is the one we need to depend on. We can't depend on our abilities. We can't depend on our education. We cannot depend on our family and friends who dearly loves us but can sometimes fail us because they are human. We need to abide in Him. Let His word abide in us. As a scripture, I don't have it up there, but in Psalms it says, the entrance of His word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So having God's word abiding in you, there's light in you. There's revelation. You recognize Christ as the one who brings you revelation and truth. And then that truth will set you free from all the burdens. So we see a cutting away. We see a pruning process taking place. And then there are a group of people that don't recognize Jesus today. They don't, for some reason, see Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They maybe know Him as a historical figure, but they don't know Him as the Lord. And Isaiah 53, verse 3, this was a prophecy about the Lord's crucifixion and about His sufferings. We read here in verse 3, He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. And that is so sad, even today. People despise the Lord. They don't invite Him in. They don't acknowledge Him. We see it in Hollywood. The Lord's name has been blasphemed. And even in so-called Christian movies, where is Christ in those movies? Where was the identity of the Father in Noah, for example? They don't know Him. They cannot know Him because they don't have a revelation of who He is. And God is calling us this morning, we need to esteem Him. Amen. Meaning we need to appreciate Him, treasure Him, admire, regard, and recognize Him. When you're in a room and you're new in a place and people don't recognize you, you feel it. You know it. You're not valued. You're not acknowledged. How much more the Lord? You know the Holy Spirit is here on this earth. Jesus said, I will give you the Comforter and He will guide you in all truth. The Holy Spirit is present right here, right now. And how often do we push Him aside? He sometimes prompts us to pray. He sometimes prompts us to go to that person and lay our hands on Him. But we sometimes grieve Him because He longs to dwell in us and to work through us. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to do His work. In Mark chapter 6, verse 1. We read here, Jesus left when He was still in His early days of ministry. He went to different cities and different towns to preach. And we see that there were many miracles, many signs and wonders, but this case is interesting. Chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus left that part of the country and returned with His disciples to Nazareth, His hometown. The next Sabbath He began teaching in a synagogue, and many who heard Him were amazed. They asked, where did He get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed. Check the attitude here. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and His sisters live here right among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in Him. That's a sad story right there. They were in the presence of greatness. The anointing was present to heal, to deliver, to set free, but they were offended because they became familiar with him. He's the guy from down the road. I know his father, I know his sister. What can he tell me? And today, we might laugh at this, but today that's the same thing happening today. We can become so familiar with even the people God uses. We don't receive them because we don't receive Christ. And God wants our hearts to be open to the vessels he's using. But now we're reading again in verse 4. That's the point I'm trying to make here. Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Today, Jesus is still amazed at our unbelief. He cannot do any miracles in our lives. He cannot touch us because of our unbelief. Because our failure to recognize him as the anointed one who came to set us free. Matthew 10, verse 41. If you receive a prophet as one who speaks for God, you will be given the same reward as a prophet. And if you receive righteous people because of their righteousness, you will be given a reward like this. That's what I said earlier. We sometimes don't acknowledge the vessel God uses or the movement God has placed us in the shofar. I had the privilege to be part of this church since 1996. It's a long time. And I grew up in this prophetic movement. And this scripture speaks of that. If you acknowledge the anointing that's on this church, on this local body, you'll receive that anointing. If you see it as just another church, another movement, what do they have to tell me now, another doctrine, you cannot actually receive that true implanted word that will make you grow, that meat that we all need. So my challenge is today, acknowledge the leaders God is appointing over you, acknowledge the movement, because it is here for this season, for this time, to equip us, to build us up, so we can grow into maturity. John chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. This to me is a very sad scripture. Jesus, verse 10 says, he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. To all who accepted him and believed in him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Some are offended by him and cannot receive him. Some are blinded by tradition. And we see this today still. God is so excited about revealing himself to us. He is so excited about being part of your life. But will you allow your offense and your bitterness to block the blessing of God? Will you allow your tradition to keep that blessing away from your life? My challenge to you today is, and to us all is, to see Christ who he is. He is the risen Savior. He is the anointed one. Amen. The one who is to come. Hallelujah. And there's none like him. Amen. So we're sitting at the table and we're experiencing his forgiveness. We're experiencing life-changing experiences when we are in a crisis, when we are faced with enemies and adversity. We receive a song to sing. He has breakfast with us. He talks to us about what's on his heart. Then he corrects us. He disciplines us. Because we have to receive the full picture of Christ. We can't just fall in love with his gentle side and not know his other side who corrects. That's where the fear of the Lord comes in. The fear of the Lord is so lacking today in the church. We get away with so much. We say, okay, God will forgive me. I can do it again. That attitude has to stop, church. Because Christ is coming back to a glorious church. And we need to be ready. All creation in Romans 8 we read. It's not up there. All creation awaits for the sons of God to be revealed. But if you are not receiving discipline, you're not a son or a daughter. All creation awaits for the sons of God to be revealed, to be manifested, to reveal Christ in this world. This is Philippians 3 verse 7. To be found in him. Paul wrote this, you know, he was a scholar, he was a theologian, he knew everything there was about the law. In verse 7 he says, but what things were gained to me, These I have counted loss for Christ. So I'm giving this up. It's all rubbish. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And this is the cry of his heart. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That's the cry of my heart this morning, that I may know him. Know everything about him. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, to be conformed to his death. Christ Jesus wants to be known. He wants to be pursued. He wants us to long for him. And if I, you know, we are married now for over 2 years, and Christ is calling me to pursue my wife, to pursue her, to love her, to date her. Right, guys? We need to sometimes pursue our wives. And God will know when we are sometimes lacking, when we are just familiar with him. I come to church on a Sunday, maybe I go to Bible school, maybe I go to cell, but it's something that's already ticked on our calendar. But will you fit him in, or will you build your life around the Lord in his presence? In his presence there's fullness of joy, the Bible says. Okay, and then knowing him is far more important than your reputation. You know, who cares about what people say about me? Who cares what people Amen. Do to me? Amen. It's knowing him that's important. Because in him, I live and move and have my being. Without him, I'm nothing. And let's read here in John 14. We had a power failure yesterday, and I was halfway busy with this note. Scripture's not up there. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would also know my Father. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus answered him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? Interesting. Philip was with Jesus for 3 years, and still Jesus says, have you been with me for so long, and you don't know me? Jesus says here, he who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Okay, verse 16. Here comes the Holy Spirit. I love it. And I will pray, Jesus is praying this, he's saying this, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, there it is, the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth because they do not acknowledge him, they do not recognize him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That's precious. The Holy Spirit is here today to reveal Christ to us. Jesus said that he will speak truth to you. He will remind you of the things I've spoken to you. So Christ doesn't leave us as orphans. He doesn't leave us on our own. The Spirit of truth is available every day to guide us into all truth. So I just want to, this morning, just pray for us and ask the Lord to just open our eyes to who he is. And we will just shake off this religious approach to who God is. Because sometimes we come to him just on a Sunday or just on a Wednesday night, and we expect him to just give us a quick touch. But it's the Monday to Saturday, Monday to Sunday, that actually matters to Christ. Do you recognize Christ in your daily walk? Is he precious to you? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Is he your anchor in the midst of the storm? And just before we... Right, I just had a vision while we were worshiping that the Lord showed me this submarine just going deeper into the ocean like that. Just being immersed, going deep, deep, deep. And it's Father Lord saying that we should stop our topical Christianity, being on the surface. God doesn't want that. He wants us to be immersed, to be in the ocean of His love. When you're in the ocean of His love, His perfect love drives out fear. So this morning I just want to ask if there's anybody here who needs to come back to Christ, if it's like your first time, you haven't received Christ as your Lord and Savior, now's your opportunity to do that. If you have a wandering heart, that we all sometimes have, we drift away, God is calling you back this morning to seek Him in all truth, to pursue Him for who He is. Because Christ wants to be known. He wants to be pursued. I'm going to pray this morning, and then maybe JJ can just come up and lead us into the altar call. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much this morning for Your presence. Thank You, Jesus Christ, for revealing Yourself to us. Thank You, Lord, You are not a God who's far away. You are God, Emmanuel, God with us. Thank You, Father, for Your closeness, Lord. Thank You for Your presence, Lord. As Moses prayed, Lord, if You don't go up with us to that mountain, we are not going up there. Your presence is not going up, we are not going up, Lord. So, Father God, my prayer this morning, our prayer, Lord, Father God, seek us and know us and see if there's any wicked way in us, Lord, and lead us to the way everlasting. God, our hearts is after You, Lord. Our hearts burn for You, Lord Jesus, when You speak to us. We want a fellowship with You, Lord. We want You to dine with us, Lord. So I just thank You, Father God, for Your presence, and You are the one making a difference, Lord. We invite You now, Lord, to heal, to set free, to open eyes, to open ears, so we can have fellowship, Lord. Daily, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I think there's a recurring theme throughout, Gunther, throughout what you've said. You know what? It seems like Jesus finds Himself around a table of food quite a lot of times. Because we get the Lord's Supper. And then every time when you see Christ with His disciples, we see that He is enjoying food with them. He only doesn't just enjoy food with His disciples, but the Word also tells us that He also enjoys food with the sinners. So we are serving a God who loves interaction. And if we know anything about the Middle East culture, the Mediterranean culture, we will understand that as soon as they see food, they gayar. That's what they do. They just enjoy each other's company and they relax. They just let their guard down and they just enjoy each other's company. They enjoy the food. You know what? This morning, it's happened to me many a time where I had to come back to this banqueting table, to this table where I had to come and say, Lord, I'm not hearing Your voice. It happened to Elijah. And it can happen to you too. And I just feel this morning that the Lord is just saying to us, to you, to me, to us as a church, He's inviting you back to this table to come and sit, to come and fellowship, to come and have supper, to come and have dinner, to come and have a breakfast, to come and have a piece of fish with Him. And you know what? This is your response. You're either going to be a Peter, and you're going to stand up on this boat, and you're going to recognize Christ for who He is. And you're going to take off your garment, and you're going to jump in, and you're going to swim. And you're going to get to Him. Or you're going to be like the other disciples, where there is nothing wrong with it. But you're going to take your time, and you're going to say, I'm not sure yet, but I'm climbing into my boat, and I'm rowing towards You. So there are two types of people. You're going to say, yes, I'm going to do it, but maybe just not now in time. And that's okay. It's cool. Or you're going to be like Peter and you're going to say, Lord, I've been missing You. I've been longing for this interaction for such a long time. This morning, I'm taking off my robe. I'm jumping into the water and I'm coming to have some fish with You. I am coming to come and sit around this banqueting table with You. And I want to encourage you this morning, friends, if that's you. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to call you forward. You know who you are. You know exactly as Gunther spoke what the Spirit of God spoke into your heart. If that is you this morning, I want us just to close our eyes. Everybody, just close your eyes. And I think every hand should actually go up. But this morning, you just need to come before God and you need to say, Lord, I want to hear your voice again. I've walked these streets so many a time, but I haven't recognized you. Father, I come before you and this morning I repent. But Jesus, as your Spirit dwells within me, I pray this morning that you will touch my eyes and my ears and my understanding, that I will see you again. That I will be able to enjoy the banqueting table with you. That I will be able to enjoy your presence. That I will be able to enjoy your aroma of who you are. So this morning, Father, I lay myself before you. And I ask of you, dear Lord Jesus, open the eyes of my heart. Open my spiritual eyes, not just my physical eyes, but open my spiritual eyes. Touch my ears that I can hear the whispers of your Spirit. Touch my understanding so that I will hear and know and understand what you are instructing. For in this day, I give my feet to you. I give my hands to you. I give my life to you. I recommit myself to you. To do your will. To be your hands and to be your feet. Holy Spirit, I ask of you now, Holy Precious Spirit, that you will come upon every heart that is open. I ask you, Spirit of the Living God, that you will come in full, that you will wash away the past, that you will renew hope, that you will renew a vision, that you will renew the future that you have for each and every one of us in you. For our hearts this morning, Father, is to see your kingdom come, and it is to see your will to be done in our community, in our church, in our marketplace where we find ourselves. We want to make your name great. We want to make your name great. In Jesus' name, amen.